Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our, well, I can't even say weekly, vigorous, relentless, and sometimes ruthless pursuit of freedom. So I guess I'll say thank you for joining us in our sometimes weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, vigorous, relentless, and many times ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. It's my pleasure to speak to the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry. I'm the host of Well Armed Radio. And just a free man here trying to stay afloat in the sea of communism. Encourage you to be a part of the show by commenting in the chat. We're broadcasting a little bit late tonight. It's 10:13 p.m. Central Time here in New Berlin. And I'm taking the liberty of broadcasting late because we do have some people to catch the podcast. In fact, most of our listeners are to the podcast, not the live show. So for that reason, I really do. Winter, I'll for sure get back to an earlier start time when, I don't know, when do we start in the winter sometimes? Maybe about 7 o'clock sometimes, 7 or 7:30, 8. But we'll definitely be back to earlier start times in the summer, in the winter. The summer is typically my lowest listenership has traditionally been. Although I will say my first, the first summer while on radio, that was probably the best. And I don't know if it's because I've never really been able to figure it out because Blog Talk, they give you some good statistics, but not great statistics when it comes to the show listenership, some great metrics. The first summer that I did Blog Talk Radio, the first summer that I did Well Armed Radio on Blog Talk Radio was 2013, started in April 2013. So we'll be coming up on the 10-year anniversary here in not too long, another couple of years. And, in April 2013, when we did the first show, we grew to probably, I would say by that summer, we used to do about 2,500 to 3,000 listeners per show. Now, I don't know whether that was organic traffic driven from Wisconsin Carry listener, Wisconsin Carry members. I don't know if that was when I originally, I think that Blog Talk does this, as you know, sometimes some other social platforms do. I guess it's fair to call Blog Talk Radio a social media platform, but they would initially, you know, they would promote new shows for people who are paid. There's free Blog Talk Radio plans, but for the paid plans, they would promote your show for a period of time. So I don't know when I used to get those high numbers, if that was Blog Talk's promotion and it was just people from around the country kind of popping in, or if it was organic people kind of driven from Wisconsin Carry listenership. But yeah, those were the heyday. And, you know, some of it's my fault that I don't always broadcast on a regular basis, play fast and loose with the start times here, which makes it difficult for some people to get in that established pattern of listening in. But I know we've got some core listeners, and it's great to have you guys. I really treat the show like an opportunity to have a conversation with some of my friends, because I know some of my friends listen to the show. You know, I got some friends from Madison and some friends now that live in Alabama, and my brother listens to the show. My brother listens from California. So at a minimum, I know I've got a few people listening. I mean, listenership is definitely the lowest over the summer. And maybe we can drive that a little bit better with, I don't promote the show much at all. I don't promote the show at all. I mean, I post it to the Well Our Radio page on Facebook on MeWe, and that's it. But yeah, we'll try to get to a little bit more regular schedule here come the winter. And I will say, and I make this request every week, but I mean it, and it would really be helpful for me, if you are listening to this show, shoot me an email just to let me know that you catch the show. I'm curious who, you know, I see the stats of how many people listen per week, and we're down now to, you know, especially during the summer, hundreds of listeners. We haven't had thousands of listeners in quite a while. So, but I'm curious, are these, you know, people from the area, people from Wisconsin, people from across the country, people that see it on Blog Talk Radio, people that pop in through the MeWe Well Our Radio page. So if you are listening, just shoot me a quick email, nick@wisconsincarry.org, and let me know where you're listening, if you listen, where you're listening from. And again, my regular listeners, I know you guys, and listeners from Wausau and from Pleasant Prairie and you know, a few other places. So if you haven't interacted with the show before, you know, shoot me, if you catch the podcast maybe on a weekly basis, shoot me a message. Just let me know that you happen to catch it, just so I can get a little bit of a feel for the listenership, where they're coming from, who's out there and who's listening, and go from there. So another great Milwaukee weekend. This is a perfect example of the weekends where you got to ignore the forecast and you just, Wisconsin, I say this before, you can't let the weather beat you here in Wisconsin. And you certainly can't let the weatherman beat you, because they're wrong more than they're right. And with that said, it is difficult to predict the weather. I mean, I get that. I mean, it's not an exact science. They said the chances of rain for Saturday, which I focus on because that's my boating day. But the chances of rain for Saturday went from, I think by to Wednesday, Thursday, they kind of took it out of the forecast, and Saturday was looking dry with a very low chance of rain. And then by Friday, they had it up to a 60% chance of rain for Saturday afternoon. And then, so obviously 60%, that's a greater than 50-50 chance of rain, most likely rain. And then even Friday night, they were making it sound like there was a pretty good chance of some scattered thunderstorms on Friday, Saturday. But, you know, we kind of just said we're going to watch the radar, and that's what you got to do here. You look outside, look out the window, look at the radar, and if you don't see rain, you got to go. So that's what we did on Saturday. In spite of the forecast, went out there, got the boat out, great day on the lake, didn't see a drop of rain, at least here in Milwaukee. Watching the radar, I think I saw some stuff go south, a couple little pop-up things, something popped up out by Heartland, and you know, there's definitely some stuff popping out over Lake Michigan. Once it got out over the lake, there was some thunderstorms that popped up. But stayed perfectly dry where we were there and anchored in the South Shore breakwall area of Milwaukee, which if you're ever – I mean, I don't know if there's any boaters listening to the show, but it's just a great place. Inside of the rock wall down on the South Shore, very sandy beach. Oak Leaf Trail goes through there. you get a small a hand, more than a handful. You get, you know, dozens of people that come down to that beach, but it's a long beach, a couple miles long. And so people are up and down it. Not a wide beach, you know, it's only 10 yards in some spots, 20, 30 yards in others from the edge of the water to where the tree line is. And in some cases it goes right up to where the Oak Leaf Trail is, the lower portion of the Oak Leaf Trail, but it's just a really nice place. If you're not a boater, you can park over on, what is that? I don't think it's Lake Drive. What's that road? Oh, what's the road that's down there by, I'm going to cheat and look at Google Maps here real quick. The road that's, maybe it is Lake Drive. Yeah, it is South Lake Drive. Yeah, South Lake Drive goes right by, right where the FBI building is. There's Bayview Park. So if you park, you can park right along Lake Drive there in, I guess that's St. Francis. Is it St. Francis or Cudahy? Bayview, just kind of like where Bayview and St. Francis meet. I think it's probably St. Francis, but you park there along Lake Drive. Free parking right along the road. Just walk across the park, head down to the beach. Walk down the Oak Leaf Trail there, right down to the beach, and it's a nice little area. So if you're ever looking for a place to dip your toes, you don't want to go to the hustle and bustle and thuggery of Bradford Beach. Take the family down to St. Francis, down to Bayview Park. Like I said, park right along Lake Drive, kind of between the FBI building and the Sisters St. Francis Seminary there. It's right across from the Archdiocese of Milwaukee campus. And it's just a little walk across the park, down the bluff, and you're at a little beach area. Take some lawn chairs, take a blanket, and great place to chill. Chill with the family, very low-key. And then and if you do that and you see a boat, a yacht out on the it's a Saturday afternoon, you're likely to see me out there on my yacht. Give me a yell and a wave, and I'll stop by and say hi. So how about that for a pleasant little Saturday afternoon? But yeah, so you got to ignore the weather, and that's what we did. Turned out to be a nice weekend here in Milwaukee. Thursday, they had the Bucks parade. Bucks won the NBA championship. You know, I'm not a sports fan. I'm definitely a bandwagon jumper, and I shouldn't say I not even a bandwagon jumper, because I mean, I don't go out and buy t-shirts and whatever, whatnot. I don't go to a game. I don't, but I start to pay attention if the Bucks are like deep in the playoffs. Same thing with the Packers and with the Brewers. If the Brewers were in the late stages of the playoffs, I would jump in and start paying it, watching games, you know, sitting down and watching a game, which is something I would never do for any other, you know, regular season type game. But, you know, I like a spectacle. You know, the Bucks winning the NBA championship is definitely a spectacle. But something that occurred to me this week, I'm watching the Bucks parade. So it was on Thursday. The Bucks won Tuesday, clinched the championship game 6 in Milwaukee. And then, you know, it's great for Milwaukee. I'm happy for all the people that are Bucks fans. I have to, you know, obviously with the woke professional sports, I'm glad to see the overall NBA ratings were down significantly. They were down, I think, like 50%. And I'm not upset about that. I'm glad to see, you know, I could have held fast and not watched the Bucks in the playoff run here, but just being a local story, I went ahead and participated and became a viewership statistic. That said, my fiance would have been watching the game whether I was or not, and I was watching with her, so it wasn't an additional viewership statistic. I was just watching with her. But plenty of people across the country have tuned out the NBA, and that's great to see. See these professional sports teams really pay the price for their social justice bullshit. And I say that with the belief that, you know, these are very wrongheaded efforts with this whole hyper-focus on race, pitting people against it. It's just so funny. So I'm watching the Bucks parade. They're having the celebration on Thursday. And the first vehicle that comes through in the Bucks parade, and I'll preface this by saying that I was when I was a sports fan, I was a Bulls fan. Lived in Chicago with my dad, lived in Naperville, suburbs of Chicago with my dad back in 1989, 90. Loved it down there. I mean, Naperville was just boomtown in 1989-90. I mean, it was boomtown. Subdivisions just flying up, and it was something to see in the 90s. And so I was a Bucks fan, excuse me, Bulls fan, Michael Jordan at the time. I mean, he's always been to me one of the I wouldn't say sports idols, but one of my favorite athletes was Michael Jordan. Just, I love a winner. I love someone who dominates. I love someone who's at the top of their craft. And so I enjoyed watching Jordan play, became a Bulls fan, went to DePaul for a year before I had to a semester before I had to transfer to Whitewater because I just couldn't afford it on my own. And so I was a Bulls fan. So I watched many Bulls win many championships, watched the parades, so on and so forth. So I've got some background of when I was a sports fan to rely on for this commentary. But I'm watching the Bucks parade. First vehicle in the Bucks parade, fire truck, a hook and ladder truck with the bucket on the end of it. And Bango, the Bucks mascot, is in the bucket of the fire truck going through. Then there's like three or four Jeeps behind that. I don't know why they chose Jeeps. I don't know if Jeep is some kind of sponsor for the Milwaukee Bucks, but three or four Jeeps behind that. And the first, I don't know if it was the first Jeep, but I later learned that it turned out to be Brandon Jennings, who was a former Buck who made the phrase Bucks in Six famous several years back. He was in, I guess, one of the Jeeps. Maybe it was the first Jeep, maybe it wasn't, but Brandon Jennings. Then I see two white dudes, a black guy and then two white dudes in each succeeding Jeep, standing up, either sitting on the roof of the Jeep out the sunroof or standing on the passenger seat of the Jeep, standing out of the sunroof. And the first one I recognized was Mayor Tom Barrett. And, you know, if you want to see something that just looks out of place, Tom Barrett trying to cheerlead a pep rally, a celebration parade. He's just, you know, not my idea of a big crowd energizer. And then the next person I see is Governor Skeletor himself, Tony Evers. And if there's anybody, if you wouldn't think there was anybody worse than Tom Barrett to be able to try to energize a crowd, because Tom Barrett has about as much energy as Roadkill. Here comes Governor Skeletor, Tony Evers himself, and he's up there with his skinny, wasting away frame, and his, you know, I don't know if he had his glasses on. I think he did. His little wire rim glasses, his little geeky, nerdy, former state superintendent, political hack self. And he's out there trying to jazz up the crowd. I'm like, give me a break. I mean, this is, if you want to get a crowd excited, don't start your parade with Tom Barrett and Tony Evers. And then I think before them, they had David Crowley, who's the Milwaukee County executive. But I mean, I remember when the Bulls were in the, had, you know, championship parade after championship parade after championship parade. I paid close attention to those, and I never saw governors and politicians in those championship parades. I don't remember when the Packers had a championship parade that they had at the time, Governor Tommy Thompson heading up the parade. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I can't remember, but I just don't remember it. But leave it to the Bucks that they can't even have a championship parade for their team without shoving their political figures right in front of people. I mean, it's just shoving them down our throats. And I could guarantee you that the people, and it was evident because then after the parade, so then you got the fire truck with Bango in the bucket of the hook and ladder truck. Then you got, I think it was Brandon Jennings then, or maybe it was Tom Barrett, David Crowley, who's black. He's a Milwaukee County executive who's black. And then Tony Evers, the whitest white guy in the world. And then there was a couple semi-trucks with flatbeds with Bucks staff on them, which I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, that seems appropriate. You got the Bucks staff who've been, whether it's marketing staff or front office staff or ticket windows and all these other people. I mean, evening, we got someone popped in the chat here. Don't have their name, but they go by the username. You can't steal my freedom. Great to have you in. But so you've got these semi-trucks with Bucks staff, and that's cool. You know, they've been working hard all season for the team and get them to, like, get a little taste of the celebratory atmosphere by being in the parade. That was cool. But, I mean, Tony Evers, Mayor Tommy Choo Choo, and David Crawley, I mean, give me a break. Why do you got to throw the political figureheads right in there? And it's because liberals, like, they just, that's what they do. The liberals shove their politics in your face and try to promote every opportunity they get. And they use every means available to them. The entertainment industry belongs to libs. The sports industry belongs to libs. The, you know, and so it's just an incestuous relationship where they just shove all these people. But, you know, again, I remember when the Bulls won, it was just the Bulls, no politicians. And after they run through the parade, of course, then after the two flatbed semi-trucks, then you had, like, I think five double-decker buses with Bucks family and friends on it, which, again, even that I thought was a little bit overdone, because when they had so many of the Bucks family and friends on the double-decker buses, I mean, I know the main, you know, Giannis is very noticeable, but I couldn't even tell who is. And again, I don't follow the sports, so maybe that's why I couldn't name. Maybe I could name the Bucks starting five, but I don't think I could name any of their bench players. So you got these people going through, and I couldn't tell who was on the Bucks team, who was not. I mean, if there was, I mean, with five double-decker buses, I think there's how many people is on an NBA team? 10. So what is that? Two people per bus, two players per bus. And of course, then you got, you know, the coach and the assistant coaches and the team owners, Bucks president, Peter Fagan was in there, but it just, so they run through the parade, then they get to the end. They have a celebration at the stage set up just outside the Fiserv Forum. And again, to get this celebration festivities kicked off, they stick the fucking politicians up there. They stick Tom Barrett was up there speaking first. And then you got Governor Skeletor up there. And again, seeing Tony Evers up there trying to rile up a crowd, I mean, it doesn't get any more pathetic than that. The whitest white guy, Governor Skeletor, frailest of frailties up there in front of however many tens of thousands of people. And he was not well received. I mean, I don't think I heard anybody like booing him, but he just, there was no hype, no energy for the crowd from Governor Skeletor there, nor Tom Barrett trying to rile up the crowd. And then, they got the players up there, and they were well-received by the crowd, obviously. But it's just, I don't know. It's these liberals. Like, they don't – nothing is off-limits for them. It's their politics in your face every chance they get, any chance they get, and as many chances as they get. Next thing I was going to talk about tonight was on the chat, he says, wait, tell the Bucks go to the White House. Wonder if, must mean to say, wait till the Bucks go to the White House. Wonder if, they say EO, oh, Joe, it's got Joe spelled backwards. Yeah. Joe Biden. Yeah. If the Bucks. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's a good point. After these teams win championships, they go to the White House. Yeah. Someone's going to have to sit there and prompt Joe Biden every 2 seconds. You know, this is the Milwaukee Bucks. This is basketball, Joe. That guy is Joe gives a press conference last week and busts into a few riffs about banning guns with multiple high-capacity magazines. He didn't use that phraseology, but they could accept, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 round magazines, or shoot 120 rounds. He's just, And then moment of truth for him in that press conference where town hall meeting with CNN, I guess it was, when he said that most of the guns that are used in violent crime were bought illegally and that's obtained illegally. And that's true. You know, usually the Democrats want you to think that all these guns were legally purchased. But here in this moment of saying what we say is all these guns were purchased that are used in these crimes were purchased illegally. And that's what we pro-gun folks have been saying, which is why you need to enforce the laws we have, because more gun laws aren't going to stop the people that are already purchasing guns and acquiring guns, not purchasing guns illegally, well, purchasing them from on the streets, but acquiring them illegally. So yeah, it was, it'll be interesting to see if the Bucks do I don't know if they do that much anymore with COVID, but I presume they probably will. I presume there'll probably be a White House meeting, and yeah, we'll see. We'll see Joe drool over himself for that one. Next thing I was going to talk about tonight is, I don't know if you saw it. Did you guys see the body camera footage from this Minnesota state rep? Got pulled over. Don't remember what the issue was when he was pulled over. I think it was something like it was early in the morning. Let me open this link up here real quick and refresh my memory and cite for you guys. So this this rep from Minnesota, who happens to be, I guess, a Wisconsin resident because he has a Wisconsin driver's license. But there's some body camera footage from the Minnesota police taken during a traffic stop with State Rep John Thompson that raises questions over his claim that he was pulled over for driving while black. That's what he thought he was. He was singled out for driving while black. So the officer pulls up and this now captured on body cam footage, Officer Thompson, or excuse me, officer says to Representative Thompson, you know, why in such a hurry? I guess the officer observed him driving at a high rate of speed, pulls him over. He had no front plate and took off from a light quickly. This Representative Thompson, who happens to be black, says, I'm too old to run from the police, man. He says, you profile me because you looked me dead in the face and I got a ticket for driving while black. You pulled me over because you saw a black face in this car, brother. There's no way in hell I'm taking off with you behind me. You looked at this car and busted a U-turn and got behind my car, and that's the reason. So this representative thinks that he was pulled over because he's black. The officer then tells the representative his interaction is being recorded on body cam. And the representative says, I know, but what I'm saying is what you're doing is wrong to black men, he says, and you need to stop that. Thank you so much, but this ticket means nothing to me. What I'm saying to you is to stop racially profiling black men in their cars, sir. Stop doing that. So the officer argues that he's not racially profiling and eventually tells Thompson to have a good night and walks away. And but the body camera footage was released, and, you know, it's just very mundane. The black motorist, the representative from Minnesota state rep, who, again, apparently has a Wisconsin driver's license, which would seem to indicate he's a Wisconsin resident, which raises some questions right there. But, you know, it's this is something that I've observed multiple times. But what you see, you know, you talk to someone, racism, I believe, is in the eye of the beholder. And what do you expect to have occur when you are told, when I say you, I'm talking about young black, well, black youth, male, female, both. But when you're told from every media, every celebrity, from everyone in the sports world, everybody in the entertainment world, Democrat politicians, public school teachers, from the moment you can comprehend words, growing up in the black community, you're told that the country's racist, systemic racism, people are racist. I mean, of course you're going to see racism in everything. And look, when I go into the grocery store and the cashier is rude to me, I think, that little runt Generation Z would have been fired back when I was a kid. You know, I go into a fast food restaurant. I haven't been into one. It's mostly the drive-thru. But every once in a while, it's been a couple of years, but when I walk into a fast food place, and like I see, you know, whether it's a Dairy Queen or Culver's, and you walk up to the register, and there's no, welcome to McDonald's, can I take your order? Or, welcome to Culver's, can I take your order? And again, maybe I shouldn't sing out Culver's. Culver's is a little bit better for customer service. But I go to plenty of places, and you walk up, and the cashier just stands there. Doesn't even greet you. I mean, back in my day, you work fast food. You don't greet the person coming. I mean, I worked at McDonald's my first job. You don't greet the person. You're going to have your manager talking to you. You keep doing it, you're probably going to get fired. Here we are, 2021. I walk up to the grocery store and start putting my stuff on the belt, and the cashier doesn't say hi to me, or the cashier is rude to me. I mean, I always make a comment like, hey, how you doing? And if they don't give a pleasant response, if they're gruff or rude or what, I'll just say, oh, having a bad day? You know, and once you call some people out without being rude myself, you kind of indicate to them that you can tell that they're not being very pleasant, then they seem to kind of snap out, oh, no, I'm sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, not always. But, okay, I go to the grocery store, cashier is rude to me, and I think, again, that little Generation Z runt would have been fired when I was a kid. Poor customer service. But if you're black and you go to the grocery store and the cashier is rude to you, they think, oh, the cashier's racist. I mean, I go to the gym, I pass a young, you know, younger, cute girl at the gym, smile and say hi, and she kind of sticks her nose in the air and looks away. I laugh in my head and think, you know, someday that girl is going to wish for guys to smile and say hi to her. And for most girls, it won't be long. Go to college, put out the freshman 50 and all. But, you know, if a black dude in the gym says hi to a girl, gets the same reaction, you know, sticks her nose in the air and doesn't pay attention, oh, she's racist. So, I mean, I think some black people must think the world must be full of unicorns and butterflies for white people. I think there's some black people who really think that white people are all nicey nice to each other all the time. And when someone's rude to them, someone's mean to them, that's racism. But no, just there's rude people out there. There's mean people out there. And as a black person, every time they experience that, because they've been conditioned to believe it, well, they think, well, that's racism. The person's racist. No, there's just a lot of people that don't like other people. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't very sociable. There's a lot of people that aren't, you know, just not really interested in interacting with other people. I got another one for you. When you, my fiance's a nurse. She works in an ER. And she said that daily she gets accused of being a racist by black people that come to the waiting room. In the ER, people are seen in the order of the severity of their issue. So you come in because your crotch itches, you're going to go to the waiting room and you're going to sit and wait. You come into the ER with slurred speech, you know, a headache, the left side of your face won't move. You're going back right away because they think you're probably having a stroke. But when a white person has to sit for hours in the ER, I mean, sometimes they complain. But when a black person comes in and they get sent to the waiting room to sit, they accuse my fiance of being a racist. Right to her face. So, I mean, it's just, here's a good point on the chat. One of the listeners says, being racism isn't against the law. Racism isn't against the law. That's true. There are laws against discrimination in, you know, business practices and things like that. But assuming you're not running a business, and you're not like denying service to someone. Yeah, being racist isn't against the law. Using racist language isn't against the law. But it is not against the law to be racist. It's not against the law to dislike someone. Well, and I'll give you one. This is a studied phenomenon that most people tend to be most attracted to their same race. Not always. There's differences, but by and large, you know, white people tend to find other white people the most attractive. And again, that's not universal, but more often than not. But there's nothing wrong with that. Just in the same way, there's nothing wrong. Look, if some people like skinny girls and some people like fat girls, it's okay to, for us to have different preferences. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, a big bully because you don't like dating, but you prefer skinny girls to fat girls. And there's people that they see a skinny girl and they'd rather date a girl with a little more meat in her bones. But it's just funny because I see this all the time and, you know, racism. And I think to myself, I don't believe America's a systemically racist place. I think that, yeah, well, and I think racist is, racism, the core definition, I believe, is a preference for your own race. And I think that's just part of human nature. Most people do have that preference for their own race. Bigotry is when, I think, when you're mean to someone because of their race. You know, racism, I think most people are a bit racist because you tend to have a bit of a preference for, you know, people look like you. It's just human nature. Now, it doesn't mean that racism has taken on the meaning that it's negative. You know, if you have any kind of a preference for one race over another, that's some terrible, terrible thing. But so back on this racism angle, a couple weeks back, I guess there was I forget the show. Sharon Osbourne, I don't remember because I don't watch it. I'm happy to admit that. But I don't know if it's The View. I'll have to open up my notes here real quick. Sharon Osbourne does a TV show. And again, I think it's The View. I'm looking here and I'm trying to refresh my. No, here it is. The Talk. It's called The Talk. That's right. It's called The Talk. So Sharon Osbourne's on a show called The Talk. And this is kind of like a competing show for The View. But there's another host on the show. Her name's Elaine Welteroth. And then one of the shows, they asked Sharon Osbourne if she wanted to comment on Piers Morgan's commentary on the whole Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, Oprah interviews, the things that she's been saying about the royal family, because Piers Morgan is British, Sharon Osbourne's British. But so on the show, they have this topic come up, and Sharon says, yeah, I'd be happy to talk about, you know, she's, I guess, friends with Piers Morgan. And it turns into her being accused of being racist or insinuated that she might be racist because of her support for Piers Morgan's comments that he's made that were demeaning, or I don't even know if they were really demeaning, but they were harsh towards Meghan Markle. My point isn't what Sharon Osbourne said or the Piers Morgan situation, but if you the story that you guys probably haven't seen, but in a hot mic moment backstage after the TV cameras were turned off, The Talk's Elaine Welteroth, she's consoling a sobbing Sharon Osbourne. And Elaine Welteroth, who's black, Sharon Osbourne, who's obviously white, she says to Sharon Osbourne, look, you know, I'm sorry the producers asked me to ask you the question that I did, which, you know, painted you as, you know, insinuated that perhaps you're racist. And but the interesting thing was, during this hot mic moment, is Elaine Welteroth, who's a black lady, says to Sharon Osbourne, when they're talking about how she doesn't think Sharon's racist, but the producers put her up to this line of questioning, this black host for the show says, this is a quote, here's one thing, and maybe we talk about this more another day, but the thing I hope you're aware of, because you said in that room you saw something in her eye, you felt like she was coming at you as a journalist. She's saying this to Sharon Osbourne. The thing that I just want you to know, Cheryl and I, Cheryl's another black host of the show, are held to a different standard by black people and people of color out there who expect us to say something about every racist anything. And it puts us in such a fucked up position that even if we don't have the information, even if we don't even really care, if we don't really want to engage, it feels like there's a spotlight on us, you know? And this is an interesting angle on the true view into the race baiting, race hustling culture in this country, is that when you've driven racial division and you've preached racial division for so long and you've conditioned anybody of color that the world is racist, the country's racist, everybody's racist, 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 systemic racism, you create this beast, this hungry beast that wants, so every black person in the media, and in this case in a talk show, if they don't make everything a race issue and if they aren't sufficiently angry whenever a race situation comes up in discussion, again, in this case on a television talk show, there's this segment of the black community that's just going to excoriate them, that's just going to attack them for not being, I don't want to say not woke enough, because for not attacking enough at every possible insinuation of racism, at every possible toehold to accuse someone of racism. If they don't make everything about a race issue, there's a segment of the black population that comes down on these black celebrities because they're not angry enough, angry black enough. I mean, it's, and this is just, when you see this, it's no wonder we can't solve problems in this country. It's no wonder that we can't come together. Oh, here's another one. When you talk about come together, you know, the Bucks are sitting here saying during the Bucks championship parade, the Bucks, the pep rally, again, the celebration outside of Pfizer Forum. I think it was Tom Barrett who comes up on the stage. He says, you know, the Bucks have been able to do what this country needed. They've been able to bring us together. And I saw today, I saw people of every race and every age and every gender and every nationality, and they all came together. And that's what the Bucks were able to do, is they were able to bring us all together. And I thought to myself, what the fuck are you talking about, Tommy Choo Choo? We were together. We've been together for sports and other things for generations. It was you guys. It was you liberals. It was you politicians. It was you media talking heads. You're the ones that drove us apart in the last year. You're the ones in last year that told us that the country was systemically racist and had to go out and protest and riot and because one cop kneeled on George Floyd's neck for too long, the whole country's racist and we need to burn stuff and loot and riot and that's all okay. So last year was the year of you guys. I'm talking to you, Tommy Choo Choo, Tom Barrett, Governor Evers. Look at the quotes that these guys said last year. Fanning the flames of racism, perpetuating the myth of racial injustice, whether it was Jacob Blake or whether it was, you name the outrage of the day. They used that to drive us apart last year. And, oh, now the Bucks win a championship. And, oh, the Bucks have brought us together. And it's like, it's so pathetic. And for anybody paying attention, you can see right through it. But they just love it, you know, drive us apart and then, you know, sit there and pat themselves on the back and praise the Bucks for bringing us together. And again, sports have always brought people together. 6 minutes left to the show here. Other thing I was going to talk about tonight was Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I bring this up because we're here in Wisconsin. We are in the Seventh Circuit. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is, I believe, in Virginia. It's out east. And so there was a ruling there recently, and I know it at least caught the attention of people here locally because I had a younger person contact me about this on a couple Wednesdays ago, right after this was published. But an appeals court decision said that dealers can sell handguns to 18-year-olds. This is from July 13th. An appeals court has ruled that a federal law banning licensed firearm dealers from selling handguns to young adults between the age of 18 and 21 is unconstitutional. This is Falls Church, Virginia. A federal law that for more than 50 years has banned licensed firearm dealers from selling handguns to young adults between age 18 and 21 is unconstitutional, a federal appeals court ruled Tuesday. In a 2-1 opinion, the 4th U.S. Circuit of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, overturned a lower court ruling upholding the law. Julius Richardson, a Trump appointee, wrote that the right to bear arms is a cherished constitutional right that vests at age 18. He wrote in his decision, "We refuse to relegate either the Second Amendment or an 18 to 21-year-old to a second-class status," Richardson wrote. It's unclear whether the ruling would have any immediate impact. A different appeals court, the Fifth Circuit, ruled in the opposite manner on the same issue several years ago. Sorry, this was the Fourth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled differently years ago. Also, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which is named as a defendant in the lawsuit, they could seek an appeal before the full Fourth Circuit panel. I think they call it en banc. It's where they, this was initially a three-judge panel that ruled 2-1, had a majority of GOP-appointed judges, but the Fourth Circuit as a whole has a narrow majority of Democrat-appointed judges. So if they go for that, and I think it's called an en banc appeal, where instead of just three judges, they ask the whole court to issue, to opine on it. And at that point, it may get turned over. So again, you know, we don't know what the ultimate outcome of this will be, but just a couple of comments here. We're in the Seventh Circuit, and I bring this up because I had a young person here in Wisconsin ask me about it. They thought that after they read this on the news about the, they must have some Google alert or something that told them about this ruling by the Fourth Circuit that 18-year-olds were legal to purchase a handgun at a dealership. So I said to him, hey, you know, don't be, he said, so he's like, how soon can I go buy a gun? I said, hey, you know, you're not going to be able to go out and buy one anytime soon. The two things would have to happen would be first, the en banc appeal would have to be heard. And the en banc, if the whole panel of judges still rules, then that the prohibition against 18 and 20 to 20-year-olds purchasing guns at dealerships is unconstitutional. Then you've got the Fifth Circuit that says it is constitutional, the Fourth Circuit that says it's not constitutional. The Supreme Court would either have to intervene, or the precedent would be set in the Fourth Circuit that it was legal and in the Fifth Circuit that it was not legal. But precedent only establishes itself in those particular districts. So then the Supreme Court would have to step in and decide ultimately which way they're going to go, because that would be the solution to conflicting rulings from the Fourth Circuit to the Fifth Circuit. We're in the Seventh Circuit. Who knows what will happen? I doubt the when the en banc appeal, the whole panel, I believe that they'll probably side with the liberal majority will say that it's not unconstitutional, and that'll be the end of it. Otherwise, we'll have to wait for the Supreme Court to take up the case, which could be years. And at that point, you know, who knows how they would rule. But so don't be running out to purchase your, don't be running out for as an 18-year-old to a gun store anytime soon, thinking you're going to be able to purchase a firearm at a licensed dealer. What you're going to want to do is, you know, you can do private party sale. That's what I advise this young adult. I said, you know, if your dad was to purchase a handgun, or dad has a handgun, he could sell that to you. So there's ways for 18-year-olds to legally purchase handguns. They just can't do it at a gun dealer. And that's not going to change anytime soon. So that's the show for tonight. Running out of time here. Try to get back to a more regular weekly broadcast schedule. But, you know, that's the other thing. Summer's kind of slow for news, either slow for news, or I don't pay enough attention to news during summer because I'm so busy running off and doing other things, so I don't have a lot of topics. It's kind of a slow time. You know, we've got it's an off year. It's not a big election year. There's going to be elections in the fall, but I don't think congressional elections don't take place until 2022, so we've got just over a year before those take place. And so yeah, there's not as much to talk about right now on the political side, but things are probably you know, come fall, as they always do. I think there's some governor races coming up in the fall, and you know, who knows how long senile Joe Biden will last. Maybe we'll have some more interesting stuff coming for long. But thanks for tuning in. You guys have a great week. Carry on and be well armed.
Sniper Chick Julie, you've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.